speaker, Charlie R. from San Diego.
Yeah!
Good evening, everybody. Charlie, alcoholic.
Charlie.
All right. How's everybody doing tonight? Oh, yes. All right, bunch of drugs not drinking. I'll be damned. All right. This is kind of interesting. The last time I spoke, there was like 12 people, and one guy was knotted out in the corner, and the other guy was, one of them was drunk, and a couple people left. So hang in there tonight, is what I'm trying to say. So, first off, I want to thank Larry for asking me to speak. It's cool. And thanks for having me here at your meeting. And I want, everybody give yourselves a hand for coming to see me tonight. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what the hell I'm talking about right there, yeah. Yeah, you're putting up with yourselves tonight, I'll tell you what. I want to welcome the new people to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's awesome. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. This thing, the message of Alcoholics Anonymous for me has always been hope. You never, ever have to take another drink or do another drug or mistreat yourselves ever again if you don't want to. That's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. So keep coming back. And congratulations to Eric and Damien. I can see the fire in both of those guys. That's real cool. And Alcoholics Anonymous is, early sobriety is a son of a bitch, you know. That's what I got to tell you. If you're new here, keep coming back, because even no matter what I say tonight, hopefully it won't, you know, upset you enough to leave. But, you know, I'm hoping that something I can say tonight can maybe encourage you to maybe stay sober for just the rest of tonight, which is a big deal for guys like me. Because it's already like 8:15, you know what I mean? That's like a tall order, all right? Another 3 hours. So, you know, keep coming back. This thing works when you work it. And, you know, when you're new, you're foggy and you have a lot of misconceptions because you hear so many different things in Alcoholics Anonymous that you've never heard before in general life out there. And we have a lot of sayings in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, like, you know, keep coming back and keep it simple and easy does it and, you know, screw guilt and wherever that came from. And then, one day at a time, you know, you hear all these things, it's like, yeah, right, okay, yeah, I can do that, whatever. Yeah, I hated those sayings when I got here. I hated all that crap. And it's funny how we misconstrue what we think we hear when we're new. Because I was about 90 days sober, you know, hitting the gym, surfing all the time, and I'm with my sponsor, and there's this hot redhead up in the front row. And I look over at my sponsor and I say, damn, she's got what I want. and I'm willing to go to any length to get it, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, brothers? You've got 90 days sober, all kinds of shit's waking up. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot other than just my brain been drunk. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's not what we're talking about if you're new. That's not what we're talking about. if we're lucky enough, we get to a point in our lives, and if you're lucky enough and you're new here tonight or maybe coming back or what have you, But if your drinking is doing things to you instead of doing things for you, you could be alcoholic. All right? If it's doing things to you instead of doing things for you, you could be alcoholic. Now we, as a cumulative group, we don't like to call you alcoholic. You need to make your own choice. But if you want to come up to me after the meeting, I'd be more than willing to take your inventory like that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're probably not going to do it. You know, when we're new, man, we just don't know, man. We just want to party and, like, our lives are kind of screwed up maybe. And then, you know, like, sure, I woke up in a few sordid places like it talks about in the book. By the way, what's sordid mean? They didn't explain that, but I could figure it out by the rest of the text. Sordid. I guess you got to read the book. You know, there was a study done in the 80s, you know, about it was given to all these college kids, and they took the word alcoholism out of the first step, and the damn of their lives didn't change. You know what I'm saying? So this is I'm just grateful to be here tonight. I'm stoked. This is a pleasure. If you have never got to speak, it's an honor, it's a gift, it's a duty, and it's a pleasure. And, you know, there's you know, I got a pretty good, I'm no social, temperate, moderate drinking freak. I'm real alcoholic. Okay, I'm a real alcoholic as described in the basic text. I mean, I am the jaywalker. Come on. And if you're new here tonight, you don't know what that is. It's basically that once I start putting booze into my system, there's no telling how much I'm going to drink and what the hell I'm going to do. There's no explaining it. It's just the way it is. There's no control in my liquor drinking. And, you know, so if you're new here tonight and you think, well, maybe I'm alcoholic. Maybe I'm not alcoholic. Well, there's just as many alcoholics out there as there are people. There are just as many types, I would think. Our basic text talks about that. It talks about people like me who are blackout drinkers and do tragic, horrible shit while they're drunk and don't remember it and have years of their life missing because I was in a blackout, which, by the way, has really helped with the length of my amends list. It just works out. It just has worked out. So, you know, gratefully, you know, I'm a blackout drinker. What can I say? It shortened up the pin work. So, you know, if you're struggling with maybe you're alcoholic or not, I hope for you tonight that you can hear something that you can relate to, because I guarantee you I'm the real deal. I am a real alcoholic. I am more or less always insanely drunk, and when I am drunk, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to do something strange and tragic. That's a fact. And so if you're new here tonight, you just keep coming back till you hear your story. And that's what happened to me, luckily. I heard my story, and that man became my sponsor. And I'm really grateful to that old boy, because he saved my life. And so, you know, it's a, I guess we start off, I don't know what to tell you. How do you start off? How do you explain in whatever minutes, you know, all the humiliation and shame that I caused my family in that period of time while I was drinking and the pain that I experienced. So, you know, I guess I start off with saying, you know, I'm Irish and Cherokee. Figure that one. Go ahead. Let that sink in. Go ahead. All right. I like to drink green beer and go on the warpath. What can I tell you? You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed by my lineage. Yeah, it's more like a curse. And I got this weird liver. It's like extremely large for the size of man I am. It functions abnormally well. It's odd. So, you know, and I like to, you know, let's call it, you know, I'm a country boy, and, you know, I got to, you know, that old song, you know, we can't survive, you know what I'm saying? We can grow our own smoke too, you know what I mean? That's my story. I hope I ain't ticking you off. Hey, is there anybody in here who hasn't done any drugs? I'm just curious. Is there anybody in here? A couple of the older folks here maybe. You've never done any dope? Great! You are lucky! Because you're the only guy in the room that said that, man. How weird. Freaking liar, man. I'll be talking to you after the meeting. That's one inventory. I'm going to be working with you, brother. We're going to find out what your shit is. You know what I'm saying? You and me, man, on this book right here, brother. If you are the case of my man back there, I hope I don't offend you this evening with my story, because I do have a little bit of that herbal alcohol, crystalline alcohol in my story. Accelerants, they call it this other meeting. I always like that. Reminded me like a dragster or something. Accelerants. It's kind of the way it was with me, man. Love that shit. And everybody who's laughing loved it too. I know that for a fact. I'm not alone tonight. So, I think my first liquor drinking experience, I like what Christy said. Awesome. I love hearing you share this evening. It was awesome. Made my night. And my folks like to make a little pomegranate wine themselves. It's weird. And when you don't play with it right, it turns into brandy. And evidently, if you go on a little weekend trip and leave your 9-year-old son and his 5-year-old brother alone, there's a chance the 9-year-old son decides to take a bottle of that out and drink 2/3 of that thing when he's 9 years old and hit on the babysitter. It's weird. She just happened to be a redneck. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. All right. That was my first drinking experience. I got my brother in trouble. So, and then, you know, I was a pretty good kid. You know, I grew up out in the valley there and pretty much a redneck. I was fairly content with just doing whatever I needed to do as a kid. And then I was doing more right in sports there and was planning on going to college and having this nice career as a game warden. And I thought, because what better job than to be able to shoot shit and get paid for it? Because I like shooting them little game animals. I know I'm weird. But that didn't work out. I got in a car wreck, and evidently, you know, they gave me a whole bunch of drugs to keep me, you know, settled down from my wreck. And my mom, it's just bizarre. That was the first time I actually did any hard drugs. And my mom said she came in the room, and I called her every name in the book, and I have no recollection of that. So that was my second blackout. The second time I got to do anything. So I was basically on a roll. So once I was not able to, you know, proceed with going to college, you know, that was the deal right there. And me and my buddy Greg, the very next time I got drunk was I drank a half a fifth of Jack and puked. And drank the other half. And that was how I roll. That's what I do. I didn't really like Jack a lot later on in life. I was more of a tequila drinker. And I like drinking it hot from underneath the seat of my truck. Before work. It makes the day go by a little better. Evens out the whole day prior to break. So, it's a... You know, and I had a few blackout experiences between there and whenever, and damn, I went into a blackout and woke up in the Army. It's weird. I wish I would have had a little more say. I would have been a Marine. So, you know, I woke up, I'm coming out of a blackout, and I got a drill sergeant yelling at me. Big old green-eyed monster. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I need a drink. That was just horrible, man. Absolutely horrible. And so what do you do when you're in that situation, right? You just, and you have a choice of where you want to go. I'm like, I'm in here, I'm going to do the deal. I was the best I could be at what I did. And then boom, I got a choice. Where am I going? Well, where's the best dope? Where's the best beer? Germany. That's where you go if you're a real alcoholic in the Army. Hell yes. I couldn't wait to get to Germany. He's like, now be careful, man. It's going to be really strong over there. And I'm thinking, man, I'm from Santee. You don't know nothing about strong. I'm going to show your ass strong. It's just the mindset we have, right? Amazing, man. Real alcoholic, man. Thinking, oh, I got this licked. So we get to Germany, and I'm supposed to be some high-end soldier, right? And I get over there. Man, the alcohol was so strong. Two beers kicked my ass. Two beers just flattened me out. Just like, whoa, this is great. So, you know, I mean, it caught up with me. I was playing around a little bit. I was in a band doing this, doing that. And next thing you know, I'm getting locked into the herbal alcohol business over there. It's weird. It's called hash. Yeah, I love those little Afghani guys in the Mercedes taxi cabs. They were my friends. So, and then of course, the military doesn't really, they kind of frown on that behavior, and I was a small arms guy. I'm an armor, battalion armor. So they kind of looked down on this. So I thought I kind of had it licked. But they came up with a surprise test. And the next thing you know, you don't really want the guy who's dialing in the small arms for the boys on Turkish hash. It's not a cool thing, right? So they asked me to leave the military in a nice kind of fashion. Just kidding. They kicked my ass out like that. They kicked my ass out. I'm surprised they didn't throw me someplace way worse than I ended up. So, but Germany was interesting. It led me to where I came back to, and that was crying home to mama. That's what I do. I'm a big mama's boy, man. Shit. So when I got back, here, and that's when it really started going downhill for me. My alcoholism was progressing. You know, as strong as that German beer was, when I got there, I could only drink two or three and I'd be hammered. By the time I left out of country, I was drinking a rack, which was 20 beers a day, and as much liquor, hard liquor as I could get my hands on, and still have some kind of composure while I was cleaning weapons. You know what I mean? So, it was like... That was as good as I could do. So my alcoholism was progressing rapidly. And when I came back to the States, I hooked up with some of the old peoples and, start doing that crystalline alcohol. And that just sent me through the floor. And I ended up getting to a point where I really needed to get the hell out of Santee is what I needed. I'm going to be honest. I need to get the hell out of Santee now. Now, people are looking for me in Santee. So I came to town. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. You come to town or you go to the mountains. And there wasn't no partying in the mountains for me. So, and I was living in this little crap hole down on 30th. And I was working for this plumbing company, okay? And I had a great job, right? And I lived right next door to where I worked. I hooked up. I mean, I got a place right directly next door, right? And I'd be up partying, and Cheryl would come in the morning, and I'd look out my bedroom window, and I'd call in sick. I'd be like, hey, Cheryl, it's me, Charlie. I'm sick. I can't come into work right now. She's like, Charlie, I can see you. Get your ass to work. So, you can't do that like twice a week and keep a job, man. That's what I was doing. Like, you're not seeing me now, are you? Just learn to stay away from the window when I call it. I could not keep that job, and I lived next door, man. Next friggin' door. So, I was just going downhill. And if you name, you can name it, I've done it, you know. Just name it, I've done it when it comes to the deal. And I was going down hard, and there wasn't no bottom to it. And I lost that house. And I ended up living in the alley behind the corner, behind the 7-Eleven on the corner of 30th and Mead. And there's a transformer back there now, a comm transformer. And it's got a little fence around it because of guys like me. And I had me a little cabana there, man, because it was like the wind would come down that alley and wrap around that transformer and keep me warm at night. I had a little cabana, man. I had my little panhandle hustle right there, and I was breaking back into the house I used to live at and taking a shower, and I'm like the cleanest guy out there panhandling. I was like, I had a hustle. God. I look back at that thinking to myself, oh, I drive by that 7-Eleven all the time. I just think, man, that's my crib, man, that's mine. Every now and then, I'll get a little possessive of it, man. I'll drive by, there'll be an old boy out there. I'm like, hey, the hell? You know, I think to myself, oh, my God, the hell am I thinking? Get a little possessive, that's my AO, man, right there, brother. It's my area of operation. So, funny, man, homeless, semi-homeless, not real homeless, and I'm not that bad at, yeah. I couldn't live on the streets like some of the men I've sponsored lived on the streets, and I'm pretty much a lightweight, and I was desperate, but I meet this old boy, and he says, you know, why don't you go try and get some help? And so I said, well, what do I do, man? What do you do when it's over with? You call your mama. That's what you do. I'm a mama's boy, remember? I call my mama. So I call her, and she says, well, evidently, and you know, there's a place down the road called Pathfinder Service Center. Maybe you could get some help there. So, and I got out of jail, and night or two before that, and I got a black eye, been tussling around a little bit, and got my Budweiser hat on, and I'm cool. And I walk into Pathfinder Service Center, and And there's this old boy in the back. I walk around the back, and there's this old boy in the back. And his name was Stinkin' Thinkin' Drinkin' Lincoln. And he had a set of spiritual socks. And he got up. He couldn't walk real good. He got up, came all the way across the room, poured me half a cup of coffee, and sat down. Didn't say nothing to me. And I realized, pretty much for the first time, this old boy knew that I couldn't hold a whole cup of coffee. I was shaking like a freaking rototiller. You ever done any rototilling? I was shaking like a rototiller, just standing there. Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. How you doing? Oh, I'm great, honey. Well, this old boy knew I couldn't hold a whole cup of coffee. And I knew, and I recognized that. And so hence my journey began in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't get sober right then. The old boy, he took me to, there was an old dude in there, and he took me over to Mesa Vista Hospital. And because I still had a little insurance from that job I couldn't make, remember? Looking through the window, that one, I still had a little insurance. So it took me to Mesa Vista Hospital, right? So I'm in Mesa Vista, right? I'm doing good. I got my guitar, all right? I'm making a few belts, okay? I'm an old soldier, right? So I've got everybody online learning to properly make belts. We're doing the overhand forward double stitch this afternoon. And, excuse me, ma'am, you, yeah, the one drooling on yourself because you're on so much medication? Yes, follow along. So I'm in there for a couple of days. And then all of a sudden the one old boy comes up. And I'm doing pretty good. I'm playing to a couple of hot checks. Okay? I'm starting to get some pull in here. I'm thinking I might, you know. And so, next thing you know, dude taps me on the shoulder. He says, all right, we're going to go. And I go, where are we going? I says, look at this. I got this going on. I'm the Charlie Manson of freaking Mesa Vista. What are you talking about? He goes, oh, no, now we're going to the alcohol ward. I've been in the loony bin for 3 days, man. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know it. I swear to God, didn't even know it. I was stoked. All these people were cool. I said, well, you know, can she come with me? Because I had one that was out on. Can she come with me? So I get over to the alcohol portion, you know, the alcohol treatment portion of the hospital there. And, you know, that sucked. You know, there wasn't no belts, man. They took my guitar, you know. What the hell? You know? But I learned that I need to go to meetings. And I learned that I was really, really sick. I was really sick. See, I always thought I was this, you know, this evil guy. I just always thought I was just the lowest thing on earth. I was walking around like a lonely shell, this angry, lonely, ashamed shell of a human being who couldn't do anything but drink. And I was alone. And I was tired. And I didn't know why. I didn't know why, man. I didn't know I had alcoholism. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that because I didn't stay sober later on. I got out of that treatment program, got me a little hustle, got me a little place, stayed sober about 48 days, was reading down to the bottom of the page, and it says, if you're not thoroughly convinced, try some controlled drinking. And I went like this, are you shitting me? Right? It says so. I told him I'd do what's in this book. I was in jail in about 8 hours, man. You know? Seriously. I was in jail in like 8 hours. And I get out of jail, and I come home, and the book is still on that page. And I'm like, oh, man. This isn't working out. I wonder how many of these suggestions they're going to have. This is going to be tough. This is going to be expensive and tough. But I'm going to do it. So, bottom line, old boy came up and that I met at the service center there, and he knew how I drank, and he's the one who took me over there, and he became my sponsor. And by this time, I was homeless again, and he said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "Man, I wasn't as smooth as I was. I didn't have the hustle I had earlier, and I was getting sicker and sicker." And I said, "Well, you know, I'll do whatever it takes." And he says, "Well, you let me know when you're ready to do the deal." And I had, I'm back out in the country, and I'm living with these crazies, and I'm doing everything I can get my hands on, and I'm not eating, and I'm doing everything, and you know what that happens. And I know I'm in a void. I'm in a void. I need something. I need something. So I go to my dad's church, and I start looking for God in my dad's church. And he wasn't there. He was pissing me off. It was pissing me off. He wasn't there. He just wasn't there. I was looking. I was asking everybody. Matter of fact, I wouldn't leave. So they called the cops on me. And my dad, now you got to realize my dad's a senior deacon, okay? So they go, you know, "All right, we're going to have to take you in." And I'm like, fine, okay. And I'm just tripping. I'm out of my mind. My brain had become, I began the certain stages of the wet brain, and I was starting to see only a couple of colors and that kind of thing. I was a sick, sick young man. And I was looking for God, man. I needed something. And so they put me in the back of this car, and the sheriffs do, and they drive me around, and I'm thinking to myself, "Man, what the hell?" And then they go and they pick up this other guy, and he gets in the car, and he looks like Jesus. And I go, "Are you him?" God, true story. And the guy says, "Man, I wish I was." I mean, for the same reason you are, brother. That's my story, man. And I got done. I was ready to do something else other than drink booze. And I was ready. I was alone. I was ashamed. And I was willing to do what it took. And that same old boy came and got me and took me down to detox. And back then it was, you know, you had 3 days of detox, and you went into the 7-day program, he was a kind man, and no one had been kind to me in a long time. They didn't have a reason to, and he let me stay in his beautiful home, and he'd get up in the morning and make me a little sack lunch, and give me a bicycle and a couple of bucks so I could put it in the Seventh Tradition. And I went to like 3 meetings a day. I rode that damn bike around until I could get into Pathfinders. And that's where I got a good hold of what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. It gave me a chance to settle down. I needed that. I needed to be able to get away. I needed a little lull there so I could clear my head and think about what these principles in this text mean to me. See? Because I was dying. And I hope if you're new here tonight that's what you can do is get one of these texts and read it and see what it means to you. Ask yourself what these things mean to you. And is this something you really want to do? And, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes since I've been in AA, but staying sober hasn't been one of them. I love this way of life. I love being sober. I love the opportunity to 12-step. And I love the opportunity that I've been, I'm just one of the lucky ones. And so, a whole lot of things just don't matter. I'm learning that they just don't matter, but staying sober does, you know, if you're young, or how it doesn't matter, however, but if you're young, please take a look at what's going on, because normal people don't come to see somebody like me on a Saturday night for no reason. It doesn't happen. If you're normal, if you're here for school or whatever, you're doing a study, yeah, whatever, I'll keep a seat warm for you. Probably going to be some counselor or something, and that's totally fine. But, you know, the real deal is, you know, keep coming back no matter what. And, I think about where I was prior to coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I think about where I am now. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the material things. I'm talking about the kind of relationship I have with my higher power. You know, because that's the real deal here. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual gig. And, you know, the open-ended spiritual principle in Alcoholics Anonymous that has allowed me to choose my own conception of a power greater than myself has saved my life. Because a cat like me, I didn't want to be dogged down by your dogma. I didn't want to be hindered by any of your closed-minded opinions of what you think I should think. And, you know, that's what, to me, what spirituality is. And it's saved my life. It's given me a life. And, you know, a higher power that I never thought was possible to a guy like me. You know? I didn't think I was worthy of a power greater than myself. You know? And early on, it was, you know, just good orderly direction. Just a simple principle, a good orderly direction. And, you know, a lot of times for years and years, I've made the group my higher power. And now I brought my higher power with me this evening. Julie, thank you for showing up. Yeah. Got to get a plug in for Julie. You know, it's an amazing way to live. It's a way of life. It's designed for living that works in the rough going. It says so right there. And a guy like me who's real alcoholic, a nuisance to society, says so on my record, public nuisance. Okay? So a cat like me who has no concept of anything religious or anything like that can actually tie onto this thing and recover from alcoholism. Okay? I'm not talking about, you know, we have a way out. That's what they were going to name the book, A Way Out. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree. And the cool thing is we get an opportunity to take it and pass it on. If I don't give everything away, I get to keep nothing. My experience is it pays really good dividends. So if you're new here tonight, keep coming back. If you're alcoholic, keep coming back. If you're non-alcoholic, keep coming back. Our principles are spiritual in nature. They're not finite to the alcoholic. They will work if you are human. Because there was principles, spiritual principles way before there was anything else as far as a religious dogma. Those principles had to be there prior to the dogma, right? That's a fact, Jack. So what I'm saying is if I can do this as closed-minded and as sick and ill with alcoholism as I was, you can do this. See, I know it. And, you know, I've been so lucky over the years to work with so many guys that have helped me more than I've ever helped them. And it's just amazing how that works. It's the true gift, the miracle of the 12th step is amazing. Those guys had it right. And I'm so lucky to be sober. And it's just been just a real pleasure for me. I haven't done this in quite a while. And I've just enjoyed the heck out of myself. And thank you for feeling so welcome. And keep coming back. Thank you. Yeah.